Excited about this particular series because it's about one of my favorite books of the Bible, and I believe it's something that applies to every single one of us, every single one of us. And it's the series is entitled Wealth Building Strategies from King Solomon. Wealth-building strategies. I like that. Wealth-building strategies from King Solomon. I want to begin with a word of prayer. I know I've got your attention at this point.
Yeah.
Just with that title. Right? So let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your love, your goodness. Thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for a beautiful, beautiful day. Thank you for the amazing time that we've had of worship. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. Thank you, God, for the miracles that we've seen over the past 40 days. And so, God, we just want to take this time to acknowledge you, to honor you, to bless you, to thank you. And, God, we ask now that you will speak to us, that today will be a miracle day as well, that, God, that by your power, your presence, God, that you would reveal yourself to each one of us in an amazing way. And so, God, we just dedicate this time to you. I pray that you'll speak through me. I pray, Lord, that everything that you're wanting to say to us today, that you would have free reign in that, and that you would help us prepare our hearts, our minds for that right now in the name of Jesus. Let us leave here today having had a true and an amazing encounter with you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, go ahead and take out your message notes from your bulletin there. Welcome to this new series, Wealth Building Strategies from King Solomon. Now, wealth can be defined in this way. This is actually the definition that you'll see in the dictionary. Wealth is an abundance of valuable material possessions or resources. An abundance of valuable material possessions or resources. So the first key word in that definition is the word abundance. More, when you have more than enough, amen? When you have more than enough. The next key word in that definition is the word valuable. Wealth then involves having an abundance, more than enough, of what is valuable. Now, that's subjective because what's valuable to you may be different than what's valuable to me, and vice versa. My guitars, my music equipment here and at home is incredibly valuable to me. But for you, it might just be junk that's taking up space in a room in your house. Because what's valuable to me may be different than what's valuable to you. I want you to think about what's valuable to you. Think about what's valuable to you personally. Something that you would like to see an abundance of, more, maybe even more of. Some of you probably thought of a material possession, like money. But that's all right, because that's the next key words of the definition. An abundance of valuable material possessions. Now, the reality is that we all need an abundance of material possessions, especially if they're valuable to us. I know people get on this thing about, you know, not wanting material possessions or downplaying all of that, but the reality is that we all need and we all want material possessions. An abundance of material possessions, especially if they're valuable. If you've ever been hungry for an extended period of time, you know what I'm talking about. I've never heard anybody say, I just think people put too much emphasis on eating. Eating's just not that important to me. You know, I quit that job. I quit that career because I got tired of chasing after food. No, abundant material possessions is a good thing. So the next key word is resources. An abundance of valuable resources. Now, the first thing I think of when I see that, when I see valuable, an abundance of valuable resources, first thing I think about is relationships. Relationships are amazing resources. And it's important to have an abundance of valuable relationships, right? I was reading an article this week about Albert Pujols. He's an amazing, amazing baseball player. He's obviously going to go to the Hall of Fame. Over 600 home runs. He's just about to get 3,000 hits. Amazing. He's an amazing ball player, and he's a really, really strong Christian. And I was reading an article about him, and I want you to look at what he said about having an abundance of valuable resources. He said, I've had great people around me, talking about how just amazing his career has been up to this point. He said, after God and my family, I can name you names and be here for weeks. People who helped me out on and off the field, teammates, ex-teammates, guys I can pick up the phone anytime and call, and they'll encourage me, not just in baseball, but in life. Those memories stay with you forever. Trust me, the 600 homers are great, and 3,000 hits is awesome. But the memories and friendships you build here are untouchable. Nobody can take that away from me. An abundance of valuable resources, such as relationships, are part of the definition of wealth. So what I want you to see is that building wealth doesn't just involve getting rich. It involves so much more. And that's the whole emphasis of this series, Building Wealth, Wealth Building Strategies from King Solomon. Now, in my opinion, in the dictionary, when you see the word wealth and you see the definition of wealth, King Solomon's picture should be right there. Should be right there. At the top of your message notes, check out this scripture passage from 1 Kings 10, verses 23 and 24. It says, King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. So based on our definition, King Solomon had an abundance of valuable material possessions and resources. He had more of those than any other king on the earth. He was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. The whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart. So what we're going to do in this series is we're going to seek an audience with King Solomon. And we're going to hear the wisdom that God put in his heart about building wealth in all the areas of our lives. And so, here we go, part one. Our first message is entitled, Life is a Journey. Life is a Journey. Now, many of you guys know that Luann and I love to travel. We like to go on trips, and that's one of the highlights for us. But whenever we're about to leave on a trip, and we're starting to load the car up, and we're getting ready to head out, there's always that time of when we ask ourselves, "Are we forgetting anything?" Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, we have this ritual that we go through before every trip as we're loading things up. Are we forgetting this? Are we forgetting that? Did you pack this? Did you do that? Depending on where we're going, there's always this back and forth with us. Even after the car is loaded and we're in the car, before the car even starts, are we forgetting anything? I don't think so. Do you have this? Do we have that? Blah, blah, blah. You know, we go through the list. Sometimes we drive off and we're still asking ourselves that question, right? And sometimes it's, oh no. And then we have to turn the car around and go back to the house and run in and grab whatever. And then, yeah, you know, are we forgetting anything? When we check out of a hotel, it's the same thing. Are we forgetting anything? You know, have we looked under the beds? Have we gone to the bathroom? You know, are we forgetting anything? Now, there are some things when you go on a trip that you forget, and it's not that big a deal. But there are some things that are essential that you take, right? I want you to think about some of the essentials for you personally that you would have to take with you on a trip. It could be medicine. It could be traveler's checks. It could be the airplane tickets or your passport, whatever. Think about the essentials for you that you would take when you were gone, if you were going to go on a trip. I think all of us probably have stories of times that we've gone on a trip and realized that we didn't have one of the essentials. And the stress and everything that created. Well, life on planet Earth is often described as a journey, as a trip. And if you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, then you know where your destination will be at the end of that trip. And so as we journey on towards the destination, there are some essentials that we need to take in order for our trip to go well. Amen. Anybody here want to have a good journey? So there's some essentials that you have to take in order for your trip to go well. And on the journey of life, one of the essentials is wisdom. You have to take wisdom with you in order for your journey to go well. Now, we commonly think of wisdom as, here's a kind of a general definition. We commonly think of wisdom as the ability to use knowledge in the right way. The ability to use knowledge correctly. And that's a good definition. There was a wise man that once said, knowledge is knowing how to pick your nose. Wisdom is knowing when to pick your nose. Somebody here just went, oh. The light bulb came on, like, oh my gosh. That's good, Pastor. That's really good. I like that. I remember that. But this form of wisdom, I mean, it's good, but this form of wisdom is usually where you learn by experience, right? you learn by experience. And the cool thing about that is that you don't have to be an adult to start gleaning this kind of wisdom. In fact, children figure stuff like this out even at an early age. There's one, a little boy named Patrick, he was 10 years old. He said, never trust a dog to watch your food. I'm sure he learned that by experience. Wisdom from experience, right? Another kid, he was 14. He said, when your dad is mad and asks you, do I look stupid? Don't answer him. experience. He also said, never tell your mom her diet's not working. I'm sure he learned that by experience. Another girl, a nine-year-old girl, she said, never hold a dustbuster and a cat at the same time. This girl named Naomi, she's 15, so she's a little bit older. She's got a little bit more wisdom. She says, if you want a kitten, start out by asking for a horse. My favorite, though, is this little boy named Joel. He's 10 years old. He said, don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat. Wisdom learned by experience. So the ability to use knowledge in the right way. But there's more involved in wisdom. Another definition is from a theologian by the name of J.J. Packer. He said, wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal together with the surest means of attaining it. Now, this form of wisdom involves problem solving, and that's important, right? Problem solving. Here's a great example of this. Back in 2003, there was a news report about a private school, and they were facing a really unique problem at this private school. A number of the 12-year-old girls there were just now starting to use lipstick. And so they would go in the bathroom at the school, put their lipstick on, and then they would press their lips up against the mirror in the bathroom. And so every day there would be dozens of these little lip prints on the mirror, and the custodian would have to come in every night and clean the mirror. And this happened. It just went on day and day and day, day after. So the principal decided that she needed to do something about this problem. I guess she was probably getting complaints from the custodian. So she called all the girls from the school, all the 12-year-old girls, into the bathroom with her and with the maintenance man. And she explained, you know, this is really creating a problem, and I really need you guys to stop, and blah, blah, blah. And I want to demonstrate to you how difficult it is for the custodian to clean the mirror every night that you do this. And so the maintenance guy takes a long-handled squeegee. He dunks it in the toilet. Problem solved. That's wisdom. That principal had wisdom. So there's the problem-solving aspect of wisdom. So based on those two definitions, biblical wisdom, which is really a matter of the heart and the mind, because it's a matter of your heart and your mind, biblical wisdom is a spiritual thing. So it affects your whole life, every part of your life. So biblical wisdom is the ability to apply the Word of God accurately to the problems in your life. The ability to apply the Word of God to the problems in your life. Now, one of the best books in the Bible to do this is the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. I really, really encourage you as we go through this series that you read through the book of Proverbs. For some of you, maybe you've never read through the book of Proverbs. I really encourage you during this time, over the next few weeks, to read through the whole book of Proverbs. Now, a proverb is simply a sentence that's given instead of many words. So it's a short statement that summarizes a wise principle. You take something big and something big, and you condense it down into a short sentence or short statement. Now, we need to get into a little bit of background, kind of set up to help you as you're reading through the book of Proverbs. It's important to know a couple things. Proverbs talks about a lot, about four different types of people, four different kinds of people, four different groups of people. There's the fool, there's the simple, there's the mocker, and then there's the wise. So there's four groups of people. That means we're all in one of the four. Amen or oh no.
Amen.
And we seem to move, to flow out of all four of those. But what we want to do is we want to be in group number four, which is the wise. So four different groups of people: the fool, the simple, the mocker, and the wise. The fool is the person who is dense, who is careless, and self-satisfied. So the book of Proverbs says things like this: the fool hates instruction. The fool hates instruction. Proverbs 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Then it says the fool, number two, is self-confident. Proverbs 12, verse 15 says, "Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others." And then number three, the fool talks without thinking. Proverbs 29, verse 11 says, "Fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back." So those are three examples of, and the book of Proverbs has tons of examples about the fool. The next is the simple. And the simple are those who believe everything and everybody. So Proverbs says, number one, the simple lack discernment. Proverbs 14, verse 15, "A simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps." The next one is, the simple are easily led astray by others because they lack understanding. Proverbs 7, verse 7 says, "I saw some naive young men, and one in particular who lacked common sense." The next one, "The simple cannot see ahead, so they repeatedly walk into trouble." Proverbs 22, verse 3 says, "A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it." Next is the mocker, or in some of your Bibles, it uses the word scorner. It means the same thing. The first proverb that addresses this that I show you is, the mocker knows everything. Ever met someone like that? The mocker knows everything. Proverbs 21, verse 24 says, "The proud and arrogant man, mocker is his name. He behaves with overweening pride." And the next one, it says, "The mocker doesn't like correction." Proverbs 9, verses 7 through 8, "Anyone who rebukes a mocker will get an insult in return. Anyone who corrects the wicked will get hurt." So don't bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you. But correct the wise, and they will love you. So for the next few weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to look at what it means to be wise. Because I don't think anybody here would vote to be a fool or simple or a mocker. So we're going to look at what it means to be wise and the benefits of wisdom. So today what I want to do is I want to start with four foundational things you need to understand about wisdom. Four foundational things. The first one is this: wisdom protects you. Wisdom protects you. Proverbs 4, verse 6 says, "Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you." Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in a few minutes, but another scripture from Ecclesiastes, verse 7 and 12, which is another wisdom book from King Solomon. He said, "Wisdom is a shelter as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this: wisdom preserves those who have it." So wisdom protects you. Wisdom gives you long life. And I was thinking about this. We live in the most safety-conscious era in history. This generation is more safety-conscious than any other generation before us. I mean, everything is about safety. Literally, everything is about safety. You can't get a job today without having to go through safety classes, watch videos about safety. There's protection on the job. You know, don't do this. You know, wear the right clothing. You know, don't stick your hand in machines. And, you know, just, I mean, it's like, well, of course, you know. But literally, you can't live today without safety. Videos, reading, inspections, everything. We wear helmets for everything today. So why are there so many accidents and so many people hurt? Why are the emergency rooms full of hurt people literally every day, overflowing? And during this safety-conscious time, it's because people forsake wisdom. Because wisdom protects you. Wisdom, people forsake wisdom and they do dumb stuff. We all do dumb stuff when we forsake wisdom. And I want to show you an example of this. I think this picture says it all. Now the caption, which you don't see underneath that picture, it's actually a video. The caption says, examples of moments before horrific accidents. That guy went down. I didn't want to show you that. Wisdom protects you. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Number two, the second foundational thing is that wisdom watches over you. Wisdom watches over you. Proverbs 4:6 says, "Love her," speaking of wisdom, "and she will watch over you." Wisdom watches over you. Now, Proverbs 6, verse 22, this is a cool proverb. It says, "When you walk," speaking of wisdom, speaking of wise words, "when you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will speak to you." This is really, really, this is really cool. Wisdom helps us make wise decisions. As we go through our day, wisdom is there to guide us. And, you know, as we go through our day, there's constantly times that we have to make decisions. We have to make choices. But wisdom is there to guide us in all of those decisions. But even when we sleep, wisdom doesn't sleep. Wisdom is there, still working in our lives, still working out our plans, watching out for us, steering us, guiding us, even when we're sleeping. Sometimes it happens in dreams. Sometimes it's an impression that you get even while you're sleeping. Decisions that you're faced with that you get the answer for even while you're asleep, because wisdom watches over you. And then it says when we wake up, we have a word from God. Anybody ever have that happen? That's so cool that wisdom will watch over you. All right, the third foundation that you need to understand about wisdom is that wisdom is supreme. Wisdom is supreme. Proverbs 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is supreme. I didn't make that up. I didn't have to create that. Yeah, that was easy. Not wisdom is one of the supremes, but wisdom is supreme. It's not part of the singing group. Solomon's father, King David, he taught Solomon from a young age. This is important. You guys need to hear this. He taught Solomon from a very, very young age and throughout his whole life that seeking God's wisdom was the most important choice he could make if he wanted to be successful in life. Seek God's wisdom, it's the most important choice you can make if you want to be successful. That's what David taught Solomon. So in Proverbs 4, starting at verse 3, Solomon describes it like this. He says, for I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. And then he taught me, speaking of his father David, and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. This is what David taught his son at a young age. But then I want you to see what David says to him at the very end of David's life. 1 Kings chapter 2, starting at verse 1, says, when the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. I'm about to go the way of all the earth, he said, so be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go. Look at the top of your notes there. I would say that he listened to his dad. He listened to what his dad had taught him from a young age, and even at the end of his dad's life, he listened to what his dad had to say. Now, check this out. Let's look at what happened. 1 Kings chapter 3, starting at verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon. This is after his father died. The Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Man, that would be cool, wouldn't it? Solomon answered, he starts by saying, God, you've been so amazing to my family, and you're so good. You've been so amazing to our nation and all this and that. Verse 7, now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people. You have chosen a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant, this is what he's asking for, his answer to the question. Give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? So he asks for wisdom. God says, you can have whatever you want. Ask me whatever you want. He said, I need wisdom. Verse 10, the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. You ask for wisdom, you get everything else. Amen? He obviously listened to his father. Wisdom is supreme. Number 4, the last one, is that wisdom must be pursued. Also from Proverbs 4, verse 7, wisdom must be pursued. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. It's talking about the pursuit of wisdom. So now how do we get wisdom? How do we get it? How do we go after it? How do we acquire wisdom? Psalm 111, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. So now this is our definition right here of how we get wisdom. There's two disciplines that are involved in that one verse that you see. The two disciplines are attention and meditation. Let's talk about the first one. Let's talk about attention. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The reality is that you are going to give your attention to someone or something. You're going to do it. Think back to this past week. What got your attention? What did you focus on? What was your mind and you know, your eyes? What were you focused on this past week? Was it a problem? Was it something negative? Was it a person? Did you have to put your energy and focus towards taking care of someone or a puppy, you know? Oh my gosh, you know. I love the guy, but goodness gracious, man. You have to watch your feet everywhere you walk, you know. Oh, he did it again. Woo, 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 you know. Floor cleaner, paper towels. We've got a major investment in the paper towel industry right now. But what did you focus on? What got your attention during this past week? Because you're going to direct your attention to something or someone. And the reality is that we often get to choose what we put our attention towards. A lot of the things that we focus on and we give all of our attention and energy towards are because of that's what we choose to. And so you, this is the fact that you have the choice of where you direct your attention is really the first part of what you have to do in order to get the wisdom that God wants to give to you. You have to give God your attention. You have to give Him your full attention. All the things that we talk about in the church, you know, we say things like turning to, focusing our eyes upon. All of these things are examples of simply giving God our attention. And giving God our attention and focusing our eyes on, listening to, submitting to, worshiping, all of those things are summed up in the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You can write this down. Wisdom starts when we focus our attention on God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning, the starting point. You want wisdom? You want wisdom about anything. You have to go to God. You have to focus your attention on God to get wisdom that you need for anything, because it's the start. That's where you begin. I want you to think about this for a sec. If you were standing in the middle of a minefield, you would be happy to pay full attention to the person standing out there that had the map of where all the mines were. You would be beyond happy to give that person your full and undivided attention. No, none of us would be on our phone in that moment. None of us would be, you know, did you hear about what he said? I can't believe, you know. Yeah. There would be no excuses. You know, I'm too tired right now to give that guy my attention. Or, well, you know me, man, I've got ADD and I just struggle with that. You know, there would be none of that. Literally nothing. You would be happy. You'd be joyful. Where, 6 inches, left foot forward? You betcha. There, was that good? That's it. That's it. You guys know where I'm going with this, right? The journey of life is a minefield. And all of you have stepped on a few already. We've all stepped on a few already. That's why we're here. Because when you step on a few of them and you get blown up, you need a place to go to get healed up. That's what the church is. People that haven't been blown up yet, they're like, I don't need to go there. And my answer is, just wait. It's coming. Boom. So as your pastor who dearly loves you, I love you guys. Truly, 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 truly love you. Don't you think that it's high time to start paying attention to the one who's holding the map to get you safely to your destination. How many more mines will you have to step on before you figure it out? I love you. I hate to see you get blown up. I really do. It breaks my heart to see you blown up. Isn't it time to start paying attention to the one who holds the map? The second. The second discipline then is meditation. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding." All who follow his precepts have good understanding. Precepts is simply God's word. So we must meditate on God's word every day. It's another form of giving God our attention, is by reading his word and internalizing it. That's what meditation is. I'm not talking about join a yoga class. Internalize, take in, think about, ponder the word of God. The more you read and internalize the word of God, the more you'll be able to hold it up against everything that you hear out there. All the stuff that's coming at you, all the opinions, all the rhetoric that's coming your way, all other people's actions and what they're doing. The more you internalize this, you're able to compare this with everything else and go, let's see if this lines up with this. But if you don't know this, boom! Meditation on the Word of God. Think about this. I'm going to close with this. Normal people, and when I say normal, I don't mean strange. I mean like healthy, normal people. Normal people don't forget the things that are most important to them. Normal people don't forget their kids' names, their phone number, where they live, important appointments, stuff like that, okay? Normal people don't forget stuff like that because they make it a point to think about those things throughout their day, okay? You guys already know what you've got to do after church today, what errands you have to run, what bills you have to pay. You know where you live. Okay? Most people don't have an issue with that. They don't forget things like that because they make it a point, and that's my point. They make it a point to think about those things. Likewise, if you'll make it a point to meditate on the Word of God, to read the Word of God every day and to think about what you've read, think about the Word of God throughout your day, then you will start to get a hold of wisdom. The fruit of wisdom will begin to play out in your life because wisdom is an essential for the journey. Amen?
Amen.
Spire heads.